mustard store. His love endures forever. For the life that's been reborn, his love endures forever. Sing praise.
Welcome to Finding God in Prison with Joe Montone, the founder and director of the WINGS program, an inmate reentry and recovery program. And now, here's your host, Joe Montone.
Good morning, my friends, and welcome to Finding God in Prison. My name is Joe Montone, your host, and it is a privilege and a pleasure to be back with you here on the air at Holy Spirit Radio, WISP and WCOJ 1570 AM and 1420 AM. Holy Spirit Radio, my friends, that's where we are this morning. And God bless you for tuning in and tuning in to Finding God in Prison. We have a great show for you this morning. And as we begin the month of August, we want to just mention that upcoming is the Feast of Our Lady of the Assumption of Mary. And it's a great feast day in the middle of August as we look at the backside of the summer. We want to highlight that Our Lady's feast day is upcoming, and truly, you know, a beautiful day, the fourth glorious mystery. And we want to just dedicate our show today to our Blessed Mother Mary and to ask her for her intercession and to empower us to really line up completely well with our Lord and with the Holy Spirit and with our Father in heaven. And who better to ask than our Blessed Mother Mary for assistance when we really need to, you know, improve on things or to take it to the higher levels. And so we just pray that our Lord will bless us with the Blessed Mother's intercession. And my friends, I want to thank you again for tuning in with us today. Today, we will be talking about some of the great stories of our men in prison who have come through the WINGS program, some really miraculous stories, true life stories, which are very, very interesting, dynamic, motivational, inspirational. And we will be talking about many of those that have come through the WINGS program in the last 20 years, which really is a miracle in itself. We're now in our 26th year. And in September, actually late August, we begin the ninth year in the Philadelphia prison system. And we just thank God for the opportunity to be there on the forefront of reentry and recovery and helping to make an impact on the lives of many. One of the things God has taught me is that, you know, we can't convert anyone to a new way of doing things. We can have an impact on people, but we cannot convert anyone. And so we have to really rely on the Lord himself to help us to get to the heart and mind of our men. And as we begin our show, I just want to highlight a gentleman who wrote me a letter recently, dated July 5th, 2019. This gentleman who graduated 8 times in the WINGS program due to his delay in getting sentenced and going to trial. And so he was with us for several years in Philadelphia, but he's upstate now serving time, and he will be home in 22 months. And he says this, he says, "Dear Mr. Montone, I, Terrell, am writing this brief letter with the hopes of finding you and the WINGS program in good health and fine spirits. Sir, I just wanted you to know that I am still and will throughout my life practice and uphold all the tools the program has given to me. I really think about the program every day and can't wait until I'm released in 22 months so I may share my dreadful experiences with the youth so that they never fall victim to this situation that I am in. My deepest thoughts and prayers or of you and the program. I personally thank you for all your contributions as well as your time given to me and to others. Signed, your friend always and forever, Terrell." And I appreciate that because Terrell graduated in April 2016. And again, he actually graduated eight times. And he graduated the first time and then became a mentor to other men. And he had that mentorship status within the program and was able to continue to participate in the Wings program as my assistant, as many of the men do. Whenever we have graduations, we select two or three men who've done very well, and we select them for the new course to become mentors. So I appreciate that. And Terrell has become a friend of mine, as well as, a wingman or a wingman, as we like to call it. And with that, I'd like to open up the show again with the little poem called The Miracle of Friendship. And it was given to me by a great friend of mine. The name is Joan Fairburn. Joan was a secretary for my father's vineyard and a great force for good in the Legion of Mary. And she did a lot over at St. Ignatius to help people. But she also worked in the prison system of New Jersey and helped to open some doors for us early on in the Wings program. And she became our secretary for 13 years. And here's the poem. It's called The Miracle of Friendship. There's a miracle called friendship that dwells within the heart, and you don't know how it happens or when it gets its start, but the happiness it brings you always gives a special lift. And when you realize that friendship is God's most precious gift. I just want to throw that out there today because Terrell himself, the first man we talked about, has become a good friend who corresponds with us in the Wings program from a distance, and he'll be home for 22 months. But, for Joan out there who had passed away a few years back, I want to thank you for that wonderful poem that she gave to me. And she gave us a lot of support in the Wings program and in my father's vineyard, not only in the prison ministry, but in our parades and our pilgrimages as well. And she also had a great, devotion to St. Joseph. And so with that, I want to just introduce this beautiful prayer to St. Joseph. St. Joseph, father and guardian of virgins, into whose faithful keeping were entrusted innocency itself, Christ Jesus, and Mary, the Virgin of Virgins, I pray and beseech thee, through Jesus and Mary, those pledges so dear to thee, to keep me from all uncleanness, and to grant that my mind may be untainted, my heart pure, and my body chaste. Help me always to serve Jesus and Mary in perfect chastity. Amen. So, Lord, we offer that prayer up to the intercession of St. Joseph, who truly was the foster father of Jesus, the great father we know who took care of the Holy Family in the beginning. And this is, why we want to have St. Joseph intercede for us and help us to get even closer to our Lord through our Blessed Mother Mary and St. Joseph. We do that to really ask the Lord for his help with each and everything. And, God bless with the Holy Spirit, all things are possible with God. And so I want to continue with our show now and go into a second story as we continue finding God in prison, which focuses on the faith of our men as they actually begin to grow through session 1, 2, 3, right on through session 20. There are many men who find their faith inside, sometimes in the hole, sometimes in their cell, but through isolation and loneliness and having privileges taken away from them, the men seem to find more reliance on God versus other things which they have outside. And we know some of those things are, power, prestige, and money, drugs, alcohol, and sex, and a host of other things that people rely on. And so the second story I want to talk about is a guy by the name of Randy. And Randy was with us for 17 months. Randy was in a situation where he was charged with third-degree murder. He was facing 35 to 70 years. And Randy was with us for 17 months on a week-to-week basis. We were visiting him. And this is prior to our seminars being formed inside. And we had a lot of time one-on-one with official visits. And Randy used to work out in his cell. He did 200 chin-ups a day. He was totally physically fit. And he was in his late 20s and facing, once again, third degree. And from time to time, I would visit with his fiance and their child and try to help them in different ways. But I'll just tell you that when we went to court for the sentencing phase of the case, Randy got a blessing from the judge. And truly, the Lord had blessed Randy because he came away with 15 to 30 years, almost one third of the actual sentence he was facing in the beginning, 35 to 70 years, down to 15 to 30. And so, you know, Randy mentioned to me that, you know, when we went to court, it made a great difference. We had written a letter. We had gotten to read that letter, speak to the judge personally. And so after 17 months, Randy went upstate. But before he did, one of the things that I want to share with you is that his girlfriend, who was on the outside, said to me, she said, you know, now that he's sentenced, I realized that I wasn't ready for all this. I'm only 26 years old. And I just wasn't ready for all this. Who could be ready, my friends, for a sentence of 15 to 30 years or 35 to 70 years? Who could be ready for that, being 26 years old? And she mentioned that to me, and it brought us to tears. And I said to her, you know, no one is ever ready for those kinds of things, but they happen every day. That's why we need to make great decisions, so that we can avoid incarceration. And she had a young child with Randy, and she told me that, you know, she wasn't ready for this and she didn't know what she was going to do. And I said to her, I said, you know, if you love him, you'll stand by your man, but it won't be easy because he has a lot of time to serve. And so you have to make that decision, and only you can make that decision, because it's your child and he is the father. And if you love him enough, you'll see it through. But those are the kinds of circumstances that come with the work we do on the front lines, my friends, spending 17 months on a weekly basis visiting with a man in preparation for his trial and sentencing, and going to the table strong for the judge to get a reduction in time. We earned a very good reduction, helping the lawyer, his lawyer, to come home with 15 to 30 years, and he can appeal that. But I just tell you that we learned that we have some power in the Wings program when we do go to court by doing the right thing for the inmates. And that's why we do what we do, because with a great program like the Wings program, we have the opportunity to touch the heart and mind of the judge with a program of substance. And so we hope one day, you know, Randy will be home and he can maybe give his testimony here on the radio as well, here at Holy Spirit Radio. And so another story we have is a story about two brothers, Greg and David. Both wingmen, both graduates of the Wings program, both young men in their late 20s who were out there scrapping metal. They weren't working. They were actually scrapping metal, which means they were basically taking metal from abandoned buildings and warehouses that were closed up and selling it on the side. And so this particular evening, there was another crew of men who were doing the same thing. And there was an argument, about whose pile of metal belonged to who. And unfortunately, one of the guys who was there that night was in the Wings program, and this is prior to him being in the Wings program several years. He and his brother, you know, made a decision to, you know, stand up for what they thought they had to do. And David went into the car, but Greg stayed out, and he faced the other crew. And basically, there was an argument about that medal belonging to him or the other people. And he would not allow them to leave, so he shot into a car. And there was one man was killed. And as a result of that, you know, both of David and Greg came to one of our facilities and came into the Wings program. And that's when we began working with them. And a couple years later, both of them were charged, and David had gotten third degree murder and Greg had gotten second degree. And so, as we conducted the Wings program, we truly got to know each other and to become friends. But we had work to do in changing the hearts and minds of these men to get them to be productive citizens. And with that, they entered into the Wings program several times. First time as a student, second time, third time as a mentor. And that continued for a couple of years. But at the sentencing, we went to the court for David first, and David had a third degree sentence. And the judge said this. The judge said, you know, David, this sentence just doesn't fit you. You only have a DUI, driving under the influence, on your record. There's nothing else. It really doesn't fit you, third degree murder. And your whole family is here in the courtroom. And you've done a great job in the Wings program. Program I value, a program of substance that's been touching a lot of men and changing them for the good. So normally I would give 18 to 22 years to someone with third degree. But today I'm going to give you a break. Today I'm going to give you 4 to 8 years. You've already served 2.5 years. You go upstate, you'll serve 1.5 years, and you'll be home. And that's what he did. He was home in 1.5 years. He actually got 4 to 8 years instead of 18 to 22. And David came home 1.5 years later. Unfortunately, an hour after he was sentenced, the same judge sentenced his brother, who had been charged with second-degree murder. And in the sentencing, there was nothing I could do because the state law is that second degree will warrant life in prison. And so Greg was given life. And unfortunately, although I was there in the courtroom, I was unable to have any impact on the sentencing itself. And but the message is a good one because both David and Greg, you know, came through the Wings program. And because of their decisions to do certain things or not do certain things, one was sentenced with second degree, the other one was second with third degree. And it made a major difference in the outcome in the sentencing phase of the case. And that's what the Wings program, my friends, is all about, helping men to make good decisions to avoid incarceration, to avoid DUIs, suspended driver's licenses, revoked licenses. We had a man who had a DUI on a revoked license because of his alcoholism over in Burlington County. And that is a huge statement. A man who had truly a devotion to alcohol, if you will, because it became his number one thing to do. And although he truly was in the field of aviation, you know, he was incarcerated because of his alcoholism. It didn't matter that he was an airframe and power plant mechanic or a professor. This gentleman had a problem with alcohol, and, you know, through God's intervention, I met him and was able to bring, you know, the light of day, the light of God, into the Burlington County prison. And, you know, his future is dependent upon his ability to make great decisions where alcohol is concerned. And, you know, 83% of the people in recovery in the United States go in and out of recovery. They don't succeed in recovery and stay out of recovery. They succeed and then fall backwards and go back into recovery. 83%, so there's only a 17% success rate. And that is because alcoholism and substance abuse or addiction to drugs, opiates, marijuana, heroin, cocaine, crack cocaine, it's a very, very difficult thing to give up. And so the 83% success rate is very real. And so this gentleman was an established professor and mechanic and fell backwards due to his alcoholism. And, you know, with the gift of education, we were able to, you know, help him to come home and to get his life started again. But truly, it's up to him, as it is David and Greg and Randy and other men. Okay. As we continue the show, I want to remind everybody that you're listening to Finding God in Prison here at Holy Spirit Radio. My name is Joe Montone, your host. We're at 1570 AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ. And as we continue on, I want to mention another story about a man named Tony, who was actually in the armed forces. He was a veteran of the Marines. And he came home and was involved in a deal to purchase a motorcycle for $6,000. And Tony went out one night to buy this motorcycle late at night. They were to meet up at a gas station. And he brought cash, $6,000. And in the end, the deal did not go well. Someone did not keep their part of the bargain, and Tony ended up in a very bad position, and he ended up in a high-speed motorcycle chase at nearly 90 miles an hour and ended up in the Wings program not too long after because of a decision to get involved with the wrong deal with the wrong people. I hope that makes sense to you and that you can see the light at the end of the tunnel, and you can understand, you know, that sometimes people will invite you into a deal, but they may not have honorable intentions. Very, very important. And Tony and I became friends. Tony became a wingman. He graduated, became a mentor, and he ended up spending a couple of years in one of our facilities. And he did very well. He came home and actually is out today and living down in Virginia. But I just tell you that even when you're a veteran of the armed forces, sometimes you can get into the wrong deal with the wrong people. And this is what happened to Tony. And we've had others. Recently, we had a gentleman not too long ago who served 9 years in the Army, and that's a long time. Thank him for his service. Thank God for his service. And he came home and got involved with the wrong person who was really not an honorable woman. sometimes she was honest, but sometimes not. Sometimes she cared about him, but sometimes she would disrespect him. And so there were some challenges in their relationship. And one day he was with her, and there was another gentleman who was in the vicinity who was harassing her, and he was trying to protect her as a wingman. And this was, again, before he joined the Wings program, but I just tell you that he ended up, you know, in a bad situation and having to shoot this person multiple times and ended up with a very, very large sentence. And he went upstate himself. He just served 9 years and came home and got involved with the wrong person at the wrong time, ended up with a very, very heavy sentence. And so he's going to have to serve many, many decades of time as a result of shooting another individual 9 times. And I give you the real scoop here, my friends, the real meat and potatoes, if you will, because our goal is to motivate other people who are listening to make great decisions, to change their circle of influence, the people around them, to get their priorities straight, to use their time in a positive way, and to eliminate all negativity from their lives. That's the goal in the Wings program. Beyond that, our goal is to help them to become successful entrepreneurs, great husbands and fathers, spend more time, valuable time with their children, and also to become community servants. The Lord says, whatever you do for the least of my brothers, you've done it for me. And that's one of the things we strive to get men to do for other people. Forget about what's in it for me, which is the way most of the world works. What's in it for me? But the Lord works reverse. He says, when you're going to invite someone over your house for dinner, invite someone who can't reciprocate, then your reward in heaven will be greater. And so whatever you did for the least of your brothers, you've done it for me. And whatever you did not do for the least of my brothers, you didn't do it for me. It's important that we see it from both sides. We have opportunity every day to do the right things. And with that, my friends, I want to just take a short break and remind you again, you're listening to Joe Montone here at Finding God in Prison. We'll be back in a moment.
Programming on Holy Spirit Radio is made possible in part by Robert Mancini, an attorney with a general practice law firm offering professional excellence and personal service. Robert Mancini can be reached at 215-348-4900. That's 215-348-4900. Programming on Holy Spirit Radio is also made possible by the generous prayer and financial support of listeners like you.
There will be a Respect Life rummage and treasure sale to benefit crisis pregnancy centers held at Our Lady of Mount Carmel School, 225 East Ashland Street in Doylestown, Pennsylvania, on Wednesday, August 7th from 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. and Thursday, August 8th from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. So come and find bargains and help to save babies in the process. For more information, visit OurLadyMountCarmel.org.
Okay, my friends, we're back with you here at Holy Spirit Radio. Where else would you want to be? And God bless you today once again. And as we move into our second half of our show, we want to continue with some of the great stories of men who have come through the Wings program who've done incredible things. Unfortunately, many of them have been challenging, difficult times. And we're going to continue to bring those to you to help you to understand what it is like to be, you know, incarcerated or convicted or waiting for trial, waiting for sentencing. So the next gentleman we're going to talk about is a guy by the name of Carl, and Carl was in the Wings program, and he was a mentor as well. But I'll tell you that Carl shared with me something that no other man did. He said to me, you know, I'm a heavy hitter outside, a drug dealer, and I've made a lot of money. But I've never finished high school. But I can't finish high school inside. I can't get my GED inside this prison. The reason is it makes me look weak, and I can't afford to look weak. But I want desperately to get my high school diploma because I never finished high school. I've been out there in the streets for a long time. And that was in a one-on-one visit for about 90 minutes outside our seminars. And this gentleman set me up with another meeting down in South, in North Philadelphia on Diamond Street. And he helped me to set up a meeting for about 25 people in a community center. And there were people there, his mother, his sister, his children. And we had a dynamic wing seminar there in the midst of a drug-infested environment. And God was there. And we had a tremendous 90-minute seminar that touched the hearts and minds of everyone present. And it was due to his belief in the Wings program that we're able to pull that off and get it established and do other future seminars there as well. And later on, when he got sentenced, Carl said to me, you know, I just got sentenced to life in prison. It didn't work out exactly as I thought, because I thought I was going to come home. But I want you to know that I'm still a wingman, and I'm still feeding out the principles and fundamentals of the Wings program up here in my home jail. And he went on and on in this letter. And he's serving life, my friends, and he will not come home. But while he's up there, he is a wingman, and he is helping to change other men on the inside. And you know, we have several million men and women incarcerated in the United States. But he is an extension of our program here in Philadelphia. And we have more than 50-somewhat thousand men and women incarcerated in the state of Pennsylvania. More than 30-somewhat thousand in New Jersey, so, and more than 60-somewhat thousand in New York State. So we have work to do. So we just want to highlight Carl up there, who's doing well in one of the state prisons, and he's still a wingman who still sends us information from time to time, and cards. You know, we get Father's Day cards, Christmas cards, other cards from time to time to just, I call them update letters, just to let people know how they're doing, like Terrell's letter in the beginning. So, you know, this is important. We have another gentleman that we've referred to often. He's been here on the radio as well, Jacoby McFadden, one of the successful wingmen on the outside. And Jacoby has given testimony here, but it's worth including him in the stories because Jacoby is really a powerful speaker himself. And he served 62 months in 9 prisons in 7 different states. And Jacoby, you know, used to run drugs and weapons on Amtrak and Greyhound in a backpack. And we met in a pizza place, and basically we had a 90-minute meeting. And that was the beginning of our relationship, helping Jacoby to redesign his life. and find new work. And today, and for many years now, Jacoby has been working legitimate work for the ShopRite supermarket in New Jersey. And he has done well there and is a excellent chef and assistant kitchen manager. But I tell you, he came from that lifestyle and he made money each and every week doing those kinds of things. And Jacoby talks about the time when he got caught on the highway and he was arrested on the highway. And it was a very warm day. And when he got arrested, the officer put the handcuffs on him, set him outside against the car by the engine. It was like 1,000 degrees, as Jacoby says, and it was hot. And when he put him in the car, the officer said to him, he said, "You know, when I get off duty, I'm going to go see a baseball game and have a couple of beers and a hot dog." And so Jacoby said to him, he says, "You know, officer, these handcuffs are kind of tight. You think you can loosen them up a little bit?" And the officer said to Jacoby, he said, "You know, Jacoby, that's because they're not meant to be comfortable. They're not meant to be comfortable." And we never forgot that because, you know, he learned a great lesson in serving 62 months in 9 prisons, 7 different states. It's a long time, more than 5 years, and he could have gotten more, and he had probation time as well. But I just tell you, you know, when the handcuffs go on, your life will change. Your freedom will be taken away. Our goal is to get people's freedom back again, the way it was designed to be, and to help men to get reductions in time, reductions in bail, and to get them to change their ways. And that is one of the great objectives that we have in the WINGS program. And this is important. And it's not easy to do. It requires time, 50 hours of mentorship time, to get to the heart and minds of our men. One evening we were mentoring close to 50 men. It was a Friday evening, and we had quite a few men there. It was warm, no air condition. And I was teaching at the whiteboard, and when I was done, I had some of the men volunteer to come up and teach a segment of the WINGS program after 18, 19 sessions. And so as the men came up, one at a time, I would select the next man. And one of the guys who was sitting back in his chair, teeter-tottering on that chair with his hands folded, his name was Chris. And he sat off to my left. And Chris was the guy who would always call time when it was time to show the video, and we would show a video. So I said, "Chris, you're going to be next." And I had a small piece of chalk the size of my fingernail that I lofted to Chris, maybe 15 feet away from me. And everybody watched the chalk as it went from my fingers through the air into Chris's index finger and his thumb, while his hands were folded, and the chalk actually moved firmly between the index finger and his thumb. It did not bounce off his body, or I didn't miss him. God had put it firmly between his index finger and his thumb. He jumped out of the seat and got up to teach a lesson. When people saw that, the first thing they said is, "That's God." And they stood up. And it was powerful. And it's a moment in time that I'll never forget, because God is there both inside and outside prison walls. He is very, very close to us. And he is with us each and every moment. And he never leaves us. And the Lord showed himself that night to many, many men. And that helps to increase the faith of our men Again, this show is called Finding God in Prison because it is a faith-based program that we are running now in our 26th year, also rooted in aviation analogies. But we have to highlight this night, this evening, at the Philadelphia Industrial Correctional Center with close to 50 men, when this faith-based moment arrived, and the Lord truly guided that chalk into the fingertips of Chris. And Chris got up and taught a 15-minute segment, but it was something that we won't forget. Another story we had came up about 8 years ago. It was one of our first classes, and we have 20 classes, and we had a group of 30 men, and we had probably about 20, 30 minutes go by, and a man came in the room who's in the class, but he had come in late, and he passed by my desk. And I said to him, you know, come back and sign in. And he kept walking. And I said to him again, please come back and sign in. And he ignored me and went up right up to another man. And he said to him, he said, it's time for you to go, bro. And the guy looked up at him and he said, what do you mean? And he said, you know what I mean. And he began actually physically, you know, stabbing him with a shank. And another man jumped in and actually started beating on the same individual. And I tell you this story, my friends, because the work that we do is not without risk, but God is there. And for many, many years, I've been on the front lines, and God has truly, you know, protected me and others, so many others, each and every day that we go there to any facility we've been to. And we've been to 8, okay? And so I just want to mention that, you know, everyone, you know, got out of their chairs, moved away from the confrontation. And while this was going on, I left the room immediately to get the officers who were about 30 yards down the hall. They came down and pepper sprayed a couple of the inmates who were fighting. And the victim, of course, who was being wounded. But in the end, those gentlemen who were in the confrontation were taken out of the room first and went to the hold. The rest of our class lined up in the hallway, and they were questioned, and they were searched. And I had a decision to make within me whether or not I finish this class or we call it a day right here. And actually, we finished the class in a different classroom because the classroom was upside down with desks flying through the air, literally. But I just tell you, we finished the class and we looked at it as a teaching moment, a moment to highlight a negative experience and to turn it into a positive. So we finished it up and we went on to, you know, go home that day. And the men went back to their cells. We had 30 men, but there are no officers inside. So there is risk involved in doing prison ministry, if you will, rehab or rehabilitation for men trying to run our inmate reentry program. We always have risk involved. But I can say this, in over 1,500 sessions, the Lord has truly protected me and others who are guest speakers and so many others who have, you know, been serving time within our class, and their safety is been evident. And it's something to be really to thank God for, and also to thank the prisons we go into for the security, the men who keep security there. And, the officers are doing, you know, a very, very good job in helping us to maintain the WINGS program. So, and by the way, Our next Wings program begins in late August. We'll begin our ninth year in the Philadelphia prison system. And it has been a unique experience. It's been a blessing to be in our 26th year in the program, but also to be in our ninth year in Philadelphia and to continue our work with the help of some great guest speakers and also Bill Monick, who is a new facilitator working with us. He will begin his second series of classes with us. And it has been an eye-opener. And so I want to just thank God for the opportunity to begin our ninth year in the Philadelphia prison system. And so one scripture I want to share with you as we continue our program is from Matthew chapter 8. And it's called, Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. It's called The Two Foundations. Everyone who listens to these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on rock. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and buffeted the house, but it did not collapse. It had been set solidly on rock. And everyone who listens to these words of mine but does not act on them will be like a fool who built his house on sand. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and buffeted the house, and it collapsed and was completely ruined. When Jesus finished these words, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, but he taught them as one having authority, as their scribes. I share that with you, my friends, because the Lord offers us the two foundations. Which way are we going to go? Are we listening to what he says and taking action? Or are we hearing the words again and again and again and again and walking the other way? Maybe even running the other way, embracing old habit patterns that are bringing us down instead of going up, bringing us into the negative versus the positive. Which way are we going? Everyone who hears these words of mine will act on them. We're talking about action. And action speaks louder than words. And the Lord, the Father, is calling for good actions. He says the steps of a good man is in order from the Lord. And when we get an order from the Lord, we have to follow that order. No fooling around. In Psalms 46:10, it says, "Be still and know that I am God." And when someone says, "Be still," don't make a move. You wait on God. He says, "Be still and know that I am God." God is there. He's both inside and outside prison walls, inside recovery homes, inside elementary schools, inside hospitals, waiting rooms. He is there for us no matter where we go. That's the message of God. But he also says that no one can serve two masters. So you have to decide who you're serving and who you are aligned with. Who's in your circle of influence? Are they building you up or taking you down? Are they happy with your successes or are they jealous and envious? Are they helping to celebrate the victories or walking away when you are victorious? Think about it. Who is in your circle? Family, friends, associates, co-workers, doesn't matter. And the Lord says in Matthew chapter 7, the true disciple, he says to me, not everyone who says to me, "Lord, Lord," will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, did I not prophesy in your name? Did I not drive out demons in your name? Did I not do mighty deeds in your name? Then the Lord will declare solemnly to them that I never knew you. Depart from me, you evildoers. So we have a choice, the good or the bad, the two foundations. Which way are we going? You may be out there at a crossroad and have to make that decision. You may have a circle of friends who are thinking about doing something where the intentions are not good. This is important. In the Wings program, the way we make decisions is very simple. In our priority list, it's God, you, family, work, community service, and hobbies and sports. If it's good for God, line up with what he says to do. If it's good for you and your future, if it's good for your wife and children, good for other people, whatever that thing is, then just start doing it. Because it's good for God, good for you, good for family. When we're in the not-to-do zone, that's when we have a severe problem. We have an issue. We have a change to make. The number one change you need to make, my friends, right now, I want you to think about what that change is and start thinking about making that change. If you need to give up the alcohol, then do it. If you need to give up the drugs, then do it. If you need to give up stopping at the bar every day for a couple of drinks, two, three, four, five drinks that lead to other things that are negative, then do it. If you need to make changes, my friend, then do it. If you're out there as a lawyer and you're double and triple billing your clients, you need to make changes because the Lord says, do not steal. If you're out there, you know, running a maintenance shop, auto mechanic shop, and you're out taking advantage of your customers and breaking things just to get work, or you're out there, you know, saying that you did this work, but you never did, you need to make changes because the Lord says, do not steal. And in the Wings program, we're always looking to line people up with what he says to do and what he says not to do. And we know every day that there are people who are doing these things. And I know personally, after many, many years of working with inmates, I've heard a lot about the cons that are out there. And our job is to change the hearts and the minds of our men. And very, very important. And we do it over 50 hours of time, 10 weeks and 20 sessions. We do it through the love of God, the power of God, and his word, the word of God, the peace of God, the love of God, rooted in aviation analogies. But the love of God is within the Wings program, helping to empower men to become better men. Again, the Lord says the steps of a good man is in order from the Lord. And when we get an order, you have to follow that order. And if you don't follow the order, when you're in the military, you could be arrested and sent to jail. This is an order from God to be a good man. And I'm calling out the men here today who are out there listening. If you need to make changes, my friend, don't be afraid to do it. Because even St. Paul, the great persecutor of Christians who killed many people, he made great changes and became a warrior for the Lord, a warrior for God on the front lines. He's one of the great examples, a human being, a man who killed many people, but the Lord made him blind for 3 days, 72 hours, took his eyesight away and told him to go over here, go to Damascus do what I tell you to do, and I'll give you your eyesight back. And he got his eyesight back. And when he did, he cried his eyes out. He's seen the love of God. He's seen the power of our great God. And St. Paul, who wrote 13 books of the Bible, is a great role model for all of us men in our faith, because he truly, you know, is converted. And the power of conversion from a negative to a positive, the Lord did it. He didn't waste St. Paul. Saul became Paul. And he used them to build up humanity, to build up the body of Christ. He used them to go to the front lines, to touch the hearts and minds of our men. He used him to help us to grow. And each and every year, we hear many, many readings from the letters of Paul. Why? Because they're timeless. They're powerful. Through conversion, he has the Spirit of God on his tongue, on his fingertips, always ready to touch the hearts and minds of other people, always ready to heal wounds. And we too can do the same, but it will take alliance with the Word of God, using the love of God through the Holy Spirit to get the job done. My friends, that's our show for today. My name is Joe Montone, your host. I want to thank Dale and Jane for having me back on the air. I want to thank Frank for producing our show today. I want to say a special prayer for Frank's father, who is in the ICU right now after back surgery. And we ask that God will bless him with a speedy recovery and that he will remove all pain from him right now. And we ask this in God's time and in God's way. We ask this through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Have a great day, my friends, and thank you again for listening to Holy Spirit Radio. We'll see you next time here at 1570 AM and 1420 AM WISP and WCOJ. This is Joe Montone. God bless you, and thank you.
Give thanks to the Lord, our God and King. His love endures forever.
This show is produced with love by Holy Spirit Radio, inspired by the Holy Spirit, communicating hope.